Let's get going. Chapter 13. The Porto ladder worked exactly how Veda said it would. I took the lead and placed a magnet handle every few feet above me as I went up the side of the ship. It was a warm night, but a fog had settled over the water. The moisture in the air made the handle slightly slippery, but Veda had put little notches in them for grip. When I ran out of handles, Veda, who was directly under me, passed me her stash. We continued like that until we reached the deck level of the ship. We'd had just enough magnets to get where we wanted to go. Once on deck, I helped the others up, and we stood still, looking around. The ship seemed more worn than it had from an outside view. The boards under our feet were scraped and mildly warped in some places. The paint was chipped and bubbling, and I was positive the deck hadn't had actual people on it in quite some time. Regardless of the wind that normally happens out to sea, there was a thin layer of dust everywhere, and it was completely undisturbed. If I hadn't known people had come out of the ship at some point, I would have pegged it as abandoned. The worn state of the place, plus the black of night, gave the whole thing a haunted vibe. I could tell the girls felt it too. A sense of doom surrounded us that made talking seem unwise. Plus, we all had regulators in our mouths, so I waved at the girls to follow me as I walked across the deck towards the middle of the ship. It would have been nice to check for anyone else that may be hiding in the shadows, but it was so dark out that there weren't many shadows to investigate, just blackness. We couldn't risk using the flashlights we had with us for fear someone on shore would see them. We made our way to the captain's booth and tried to peer in. The windows were yellowed and covered in some sort of grime. I used my glove to rub a circle clean, cupped my hands around my eyes, and looked again. The dark outline of a control panel was the only thing I could see. I heard a light clapping and looked to my right. Delaney had found the door to go inside. She gently pressed on the handle and pulled. The door didn't move right away. In fact, Sophie had to help her pull hard enough until it slowly creaked its protest and opened. As I passed through, I noticed the hinges were rusted so badly that it surprised me that they hadn't disintegrated completely. Once inside the booth, we spread out and looked around. Our first priority was to find something that identified the ship. Oddly, every metal plate that may have helped us with our search had been filed down, leaving no markings. There was a thud behind me, and I spun around just in time to hear Delaney squeal through her regulator. She'd tripped over the dead body of one of the largest rats I'd ever seen. Sophie took hold of Delaney's arm and steadied her while she regained her composure, and her breathing calmed. Meanwhile, Veda went around checking our oxygen tanks to make sure we were using our air properly. Once we got the nod from her, it was time to venture lower into the ship. The door from the captain's booth to the main staircase was just as difficult to open as the first door had been. Once we were through it, I went first, testing each stair carefully before putting my full weight on it. They squeaked and buckled under our feet as we descended. We must have gone down 30 stairs before a hallway opened up before us. By then, we felt it was safe to turn on our flashlights. That was when we saw huge double doors just off to our right. We made a single file line and inched down the hallway, stepping over dead rats and roaches. Delaney and Veda had to stop a couple of times to keep themselves from vomiting. Neither of them was a fan of rodents or bugs. We made it to the doors. I could tell they had once been very beautiful in their construction. The wood had survived whatever the ship had been through without warping. And even through the grime on the windows, I could see that they were made of blue stained glass. I reached for the handle, but Sophie's hand grabbed my wrist to stop me. She took a deep breath and pulled her regulator out of her mouth.
"I hear talking in there."
Even in human form, Sophie possessed her canine senses. She could hear and see things the rest of us couldn't. I took a deep breath and pulled my own regulator out.
"Do you know how many people?"
After taking another breath of air from her regulator, Sophie replied.
I can't tell. The whispering is almost inaudible.
There's no other way to find out, I said, popping my regulator back in my mouth. I pushed down on the long-handled knob attached to the door on the right and pulled. I'd expected it to stick as the one on deck had, but instead it swung open easily while Sophie opened the other door. The moment the five of us got a glimpse inside, we backed up to the opposite side of the hallway and had to keep ourselves from running. There were at least 20 large round tables spread out in the room, which was obviously a dining hall. Each table had 8 chairs around it. Every single chair in the room was occupied. The people sitting in them were all leaned forward towards the center of the table, as if they were trying to strain to hear the person across from them. There was a low hum of whispers coming from each table, but that wasn't the eeriest part. Beside every single person in the room stood a tall IV pole. At the top of each, a bag of some unknown solution was hooked to it. There were long tubes hanging down, and all of them ended in a needle buried deep in the arm of the person next to it. Nobody in the room seemed to notice that we'd opened the doors, and I silently thanked the heavens for that. Normally, seeing a room of people like that, I'd rush to help. However, there was something about their mannerisms and the pale, distraught looks on their faces that made me want to stay far away. I've been around danger before, but somehow, the vibe coming from that room made all of us want to simply panic and run. I pointed a finger back towards the stairs, and the girls nodded. Sophie and I each took hold of a doorknob and ever so slowly began easing the doors shut. That was when things started to go wrong. About halfway through shutting the doors, a mouse, or maybe a small rat, darted from the hallway into the dining hall. The unfortunate creature ran right under Sophie's door as she was moving it and got stuck. It squealed out in pain, and the entire room full of people turned to see what had happened. It was the kind of slow turn that you see in horror movies right when you know the characters had pissed off the bad guy. Only there were over 100 of them. The moment their eyes settled in our direction, the entire lot of them were on their feet. A widespread look of fear and panic covered their faces, and they charged at us, yelling, "No!" over and over. There was something odd about the way they were coming at us, though. Very few of them were looking at Sophie or me. They had fixated on the doors. The ones who did make eye contact with us looked terrified momentarily and then shifted their gaze to the doors as well. Sophie closed her eyes and winced as she shoved her door. I knew she was saddened by having to push the door over the mouse that was stuck under it, but either it was that, or we would surrender ourselves to the IV mob coming at us. I shoved my door, and the two of them clicked together just in time for the angry passengers to run into it. There was no lock on the outside, and we had no idea how long it would be before they opened it and came after us. So we turned and bolted down the hallway. Freya, Veda, and Delaney had waited for us at the bottom of the stairs, and they ran up them as soon as they saw we were coming. I've never climbed a flight of stairs faster. As soon as we were at the top and back in the captain's booth with our flashlights off, we slammed the door to the stairway shut. There was no telling if the mob was coming up the stairs after us, so we ran to the door leading back onto the deck. Just before running through it, Veda popped her regulator out of her mouth.
"Wait!" she whispered yelled. "We have to get some samples!"
She pulled a handful of plastic bags from somewhere on her suit and passed them to us. I took the ones she held out to me and removed my own regulator.
"Delaney, watch the stairway door!"
Delaney moved to her post as a watchman while the rest of us started collecting. We picked up handfuls of dust, scrapings of paint, and even a dead rat and put it all in bags. Glancing around, I was about to call the collecting to an end when something caught my eye in the corner of the room. I walked to it and looked down. It was relatively flat and covered in dust. Carefully, I bent over and took hold of the side. It lifted easily. When I held it up to try to see what it was, it looked like a feather of some sort, only
huge. It had to be at least a foot and a half long and 6 inches wide. I knew I wouldn't be able to see what it actually was with the dark surrounding us, but I didn't have a bag big enough to put it in. Instead, I tucked it under my arm and joined the girls at the door. We were exiting the booth to get back on deck when I saw a large button by the door. I pulled my regulator and whispered, "Do any of you have something to collect a fingerprint with? Tape, maybe?" The girls looked at each other, and Delaney started nodding. She reached into a pocket on her suit and pulled out a flat envelope and a shiny round circle. I had no idea what the items were, but she held them in one hand and took out her regulator.
"Where do you see a print?"
"I didn't see one per se, but that is a pretty important looking button right there. It stands to reason that someone at some time had pushed it," I said before replacing my air supply. Delaney walked to the button, glancing suspiciously at the stairway door. When she reached the button, she opened the shiny circle, held it up in front of the button, bent down, and blew gently. A puff of powder emitted from the circle and covered the button. She closed the shiny circle and tucked it back in her pocket. Then she opened the envelope and pulled out a small square sheet of what looked like tissue paper. She pressed it on the button, held it for a moment, and pulled it off. It was apparent from the way that she removed it that the paper, or whatever it was sticky. When she'd completely removed it, Veda was at her side with an open sample bag. Delaney carefully placed the paper in the bag and tucked the envelope away while Veda sealed it up. We made our way back across the deck and started our descent down the side of the ship. None of us wanted to be there for even a moment longer. I went last. I passed down the artifact that I'd been holding under my arm as the girls climbed down. Then I made my own way onto our makeshift ladder and pulled the magnet handles off after each one I used. Once we were all in the boat, Veda started the engine, which barely made a sound, even on ignition.